Out of time.
We're live.
Unbelievable.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hi. Hello, Boris.
Hello. We're back again. Tom's still with us. Some of you will be happy to know. And by some of you, I mean one. And still with Mitchell, Luke, and Bob. So ready to go this week.
No big introduction this week, Bob.
No big introduction, I'm afraid. Yeah. You don't deserve it this week. But oh dear.
What's the matter?
It's not the week that some of us was expecting, was it?
I'm all right, mate. I'm sitting here with a cup of tea, a Ferrero Rocher, a Lindor, and a walnut whip.
I'm living the dream. Yeah, good. Okay, well. Just something to call out before we get started, actually, because it's pissing me off, right?
Oh, no.
So Clive told me before that we've got around 200 people that have, or unique people that have listened to our podcast, right? Guess how many followers we've got on Twitter?
37.
No idea.
3.
I don't use Twitter.
25.
Ah.
25, right? So.
That's not 10%. Yeah.
It's exactly like 10%, yeah, I'd say, if it was 250.
Oh, I'd take that.
Get fucking mashed, right, yeah. Tom, right?
Sorry, Tom, I didn't mean to show off. but yeah, you 200 people that are listening to it and not following us on Twitter, go and do that. At London Ears, one of the O's is a 0. Don't know which one, but you pick
the second one.
Yeah, the second one. Yeah. Go follow us, please, because
please.
We'd really like it. So we'll make a start with Tom. He was obviously there. Witnessing probably the most boring game ever that he's probably witnessed. So talk to us about it, Tom.
It's Arsenal every week, don't
it? It was exhilarating stuff, lads.
They're a top team, to be fair.
Total. They are a top team. They were totally dominated by Arsenal. And it was such a strange game because we totally dominated them and they never had a shot on target. I looked at the stats earlier. They had 3 shots in the whole game and they were all blocked. They were all outside the box. They never even had a single shot that reached the keeper or anywhere near the goal. Yet still, at the end of the game, it seemed like everyone was nervous and we were hanging on, although basically nothing happened. It was just a weird, weird atmosphere in the stadium. My boy was bored out of his nut. It sort of breaks your heart when you take them and they're sitting there like, I'd rather be at home.
Yeah, he fucking deserves it though, Tom, doesn't he? Because he had a go at me for being bored once. So he deserves it.
Was that you or Clive?
I think it was me. Yeah.
Interesting.
I don't mean it really.
No, even when I watched the highlights back, it seemed there were some good chances. But while you were there, because it was so dominant but really passive at the same time, had all the ball. First half, they couldn't even get out of their half, couldn't even get the ball off of us. But we scored the goal, and I think we had one shot apart from that. And you're thinking, well, we was hoping that once we got the first goal, it was quite early, 20 minutes or so, that it would open up, but they were playing a strange game, Ipswich. Their keeper was time-wasting after 20 minutes, 25 minutes, when they were 1-0 down. And you're like, well, what are you playing at? Like, as if the game plan was, let's just stay in it for as long as we can and see if we can nick an equaliser or something.
Watching Raya highlights.
Oh.
Clive like that one.
Yeah, but, it was... different setup with no Sacco. He played Martinelli on the right again, and he wasn't anywhere near as effective as he was against Palace. But yeah, the team in general, it was kind of just a really sort of passive is the word. I think they had all the ball, but weren't really in any rush to do anything with it. It was a strange game, very strange game. And I think the fact that it was the Friday over Christmas at 8:15, and a lot of people had just been busy and just wanted to go home, I think.
Yeah. I mean, a couple of things on that game. I mean, that game was so fucking boring that I turned it off at one point to watch Dunfermline versus Falkirk in the Scottish Championship. So that says one thing about it. But Tom, do you think, so was it kind of overconfidence? Because I think there was a point in that game, like you say, towards the end, it was like he was holding on, but not really, because Ipswich just kept passing it around. Like they didn't do any incisive passes or anything like that. No. So do you think it was kind of overconfidence on your part, or do you just think it was one of them games where you didn't really have to get out of first gear?
Yeah, the way Ipswich played, we never had to sort of step it up. You know, sometimes if you can have one of them games where you've got all the ball, you don't put it in the net, and then they go up the other end and score, and you're 1-0 down at half time, and then you have to come out the second half and have all got a rocket up their arse, and you're like, right, and then they take it to them. So Ipswich just offered nothing, really. And say, even in the second half, they did come out a bit. They had a lot more of the ball, but didn't do anything with it. A couple of speculative long shots that just got blocked, crosses that went awry. And I don't think it's overconfidence. I think it's weird. I was watching Liverpool play in the West Ham game.
Oh, did they play? Did they?
Yeah, quite an interesting game, actually. Not that happened, but you know, tactically interesting. it was when you see Arsenal, they're set up the way Arteta wants them to play is like they have all of the control, and the other team has very, very little opportunity or chance to do anything with the ball, and. I don't know, we're not as dynamic. It's like we have to be ruthlessly efficient with our chances. Like when you saw the highlights of the game, you thought, oh, could have been 4-0. Had a couple of good chances. Rice had one on the volley from a corner. I think Mourinho had a shot. Odegaard went through a load of players and had a shot that was blocked. Gabriel missed an absolute sitter from a corner. I think he shit himself. He was going to headbutt the post, and he shut his eyes and missed. But when you looked at the highlights, you thought, well, it could have been 4-0. But it was literally like they have to score all of the chances they have to get four goals. When you watch Liverpool, they could have got 10 and they get 5. You know what I mean? It's like they don't have to be ruthlessly efficient. They just keep creating, they keep creating, they keep attacking. But then at the same time, you have this offset where Ipswich did absolutely nothing against Arsenal. But then before Liverpool scored their second goal against West Ham had a few chances, you know. So there's that control element where you're giving the other team an opportunity to hit you. If they take it, you're in trouble. And it's like Arteta wants to have total control and not give anything away. And is that costing us in terms of the attacking threat we're having? Possibly.
But, yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Because when you watch Liverpool, it's like, even if they go 1-0 down, so say Paqueta, I'll talk about this later anyway, but say Paqueta scored in the first 5 minutes, even if they went 1-0 down, you'd think, well, they're definitely going to still win 5-1. Whereas, or if they go 1-0 up, for example, if we had scored again, or even if we started to look threatening, you still wouldn't really be too concerned. But with Arsenal at the moment, it seems a little bit different to that. Like, it's still like a little bit worrying for you, even though you're clearly the better team.
Yeah.
You just maybe need to take the chances a bit more, I suppose.
Well, this is the thing. I mean, as I say, not trying to be funny to Mitch, you know, you've had a bad result against Ipswich tonight. And this is what can happen in the Premier League. All these teams, Ipswich beat Tottenham. They beat Chelsea. They've got good results against other teams, like draws away from home against teams who they might drop points. And they literally done absolutely nothing against us. So that's the kind of thing you've got to offset it, I suppose. You think, well, do we try and be a little bit more entertaining, you know, and score a couple more goals? Or we cede a bit more control of the game and risk conceding. to be fair, as long as we came away from that stadium with 3 points, I didn't really give a fuck, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know, that's the main thing. We dominated the game. You know, it would have been a different story if we had absolutely sort of battered them with chances, you know, attempts on goal. If their keeper was man of the match and he'd made outstanding save, and you think, oh, we could have won that 10-0, but we've only got one. Whereas you sort of came away thinking, well, 1-0 was a bit of a dull game. It might have been a different sort of narrative, but at the end of the day, 3 points, clean sheet, job done. So I don't think it's overconfidence. I just think it was the kind of the game state, the way they played. And at this time of year, with all the fixtures building up, injuries now mounting for all the teams, you just think, just get what you can get, however you can get it, and don't worry about it.
Do you think it's the first signs of, obviously they're going to be the first signs because it's the first game that he's missing, but do you think it's the first signs of missing Saka and what he can bring?
Not necessarily, because, I mean, Saka played against Everton and we drew 0-0, and didn't really look like scoring in that game. We looked more threatening in this game than that game, and Saka was playing. So, say Saka came off against Crystal Palace after 20-odd minutes and we scored another 3 goals. So I don't think this game was affected by that necessarily. It could be an issue going forward, but, you know, what team's not going to miss their best player? You know, so time will tell on that. But I don't think that Saka missing was the reason that the game went how it went. I just think it was one of them games which was set up to be hard to score against. So even when they were losing 1-0, they didn't seem interested in coming out. And they basically parked the bus, didn't offer anything. And luckily, we got the early goal, and that was enough. So, yeah, just one of them games, I think, that you have to just park and say, yeah, job done.
Okay. Final question, though. Did you have a good time in the stadium?
Yeah, it's all right. Yeah, not bad.
Good. Yeah. Would you prefer to have watched it at home?
No.
Yeah, you would.
I got a new coat for Christmas, so I wasn't cold. Yeah, a night out. So
show off.
Exhilarating.
Lovely. All right. I was just about to call you Dave then. Mitch or Luke, anything to add on Arsenal? Any questions for Tom?
I mean, it's, you know, I mean, they don't really miss Saka, do they? He's shit. He's a poor man's Palmer.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I thought you would have been asking me, Mitch, how did we beat Ipswich?
I'll get to that.
And you, Luke, I thought you would have asked me.
How did we beat Ipswich? Mate, yeah. Don't worry about Tottenham, mate.
I never worry about Tottenham.
Arsenal fans always worry about Tottenham.
We never worry about
Tottenham.
No one does. Right. So, thanks, Tom. Who did I go with next? Spurs, I think, wasn't it?
Yep.
Luke, obviously, from the Man versus AI, you expected this to go a little bit differently to what it did.
Always expect it differently than there. What would you mean? What happened? You saw the game, all right? Like, Nottingham Forest is just a tough team to beat at the moment. But I don't. We
Well, they didn't beat West Ham.
They did.
Yeah, they did actually.
So yeah, they did. 3-0. Thanks, Tom.
Didn't beat Arsenal.
There's just been a pain in our team to beat, but I don't think that's even an excuse, really. Like, we had so much possession, so many more shots. We had
just
okay. But enough to be deadly against them. But it's just not winning. Just what can you? I don't even know how to explain it with Tottenham. I watched the game and I'm just looking at them, and there's glimpses of going back to what we used to do when we played when we lose against teams like Forest, where it's the Ange football where he wants to attack. I get that. That's fine. It's lovely football. We know we're going to concede. Yeah, that's just the way it is. We just need to score more than your opponent. okay, that's the Ange way. But they can't do Ange way and do Conte way in the same game. It just doesn't work. So what I mean by that is watching the game, there was times where players were just doing this ticky-tacky, shitty passing in their own half or just in the middle of the park, just between each other and not turning. That they've got so much room to turn and go forward or turn and take a man on. They're all scared to do anything. No one wants to run past them. When was the days where you'll get it to a winger and they'll just run past players? I like watching Doku. Is it Doku? Is that how you pronounce his name?
City, yeah.
City? Like, I love seeing that sort of player. Kudo, whatever his name, your club.
Couscous.
Yeah. I just love seeing these, like, pacey players that annoy you. It doesn't even need to be pacey players, just good with their feet, just take on players, run past players. You don't see that no more. You just
play like Saka.
He passes backwards, doesn't he? Yeah. It's just, I'd want to see players just take on. You lose the ball, so be it. You know, just take on the player. What we're doing in the middle of the park is we just pass it between us. You know what's happening? Teams are just like, oh, go on, Tottenham, go on. Do it. And then what happens is that we pass it, we didn't go forward and we make a shitty pass or a mistake or lose the ball. And teams have all got so much space because the way Tottenham are playing quite high up. Teams just get on the counter. And I'm watching Bissouma just jog back. I'm watching Saar just jog back. I'm watching Brennan Johnson jog back. Stop fucking. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know why they're doing it. Just sprint your ass fucking back and tackle the ball. It's not difficult.
So. I mean, I almost agree with you with the Nottingham Forest game. They are a difficult team to play at the moment. They beat massive teams like West Ham, that kind of stuff. Only teams who have beaten Liverpool. So it's almost excusable, that game. But then you kind of want a little bit of fight back in your second fixture of this week against Wolves. And then you go and draw 2-2. So what's happening? Is it just the injuries that you've got? Because I know that's the excuse that's being made a lot.
It's another injury as well, you're like your doggy. No, it was a strong team against Wolves as well. It was a strong team. The team against Nottingham Forest, just double checking it here, that was a strong team. Like, you look at that, it's just, okay, Forster's not great, but he's been putting in a shift. Jed Spence got sent off in the 94th minute, so no excuse there, but you know, it didn't affect the game at all. Bentacore, Saar, Johnson. Because who else do we play in there? There's Madison's on the bench, I guess, in that game. But he's been rotating him. You got to rotate because we keep getting injuries, so he has to rotate the squad. The Forest game, it was just Forest were a tough team. They're a tough team. They got the one goal, and we just couldn't break them down. We just couldn't do it, and no one's. We're just passing like as if. You know, we're 2-0 up or something, and we're just trying to hold the ball. It's like, there's no urgency. And the Forest game, I think we won 1-0 down in the Forest game. I missed that game.
You lost 1-0 to Forest.
Wolves game. The Wolves game. It's been a long week. Let me just get that.
Yeah, you was 1-0 down. Yeah, because Chang scored an absolute belter, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. It was good. It was a good finish. It was a good finish for us as well, Bendigo and Johnson. Good, some good football. We missed a penalty as well.
Son
missed a penalty. That didn't help. It's just chances that we're getting, and we're just not putting them away. And I love Son, I really do, but he's just not good enough now. He's not as a starting player. I don't feel, if he is, he needs to change the way that he's playing.
But he won't do that because Ange won't let him.
No, I don't mean in like the way that Ange's got him playing. I mean the way that he's playing as a player. If you watch the next, well, I think he's injured. He got picked up a knock on the Wolves games. I don't know how long he's out for. I've not seen much about it. But if you watch in the next few games, you'll see what he does, and you just be like, for a player of his ability, you just want to see more of it. And you see glimpses of it in the game when he does do it. It's just like, I want to see more of it. But I know he's getting on a bit, but I just feel like that's not an excuse for that sort of player. Look at Salah at the moment. The guy is ripping everyone to shreds at the moment on the wing. I'm not seeing that from Son. He's just not producing that ability like he's been doing.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's almost an unfair comparison because I would argue that Salah's probably the best player in the world right now.
Oh, Salah is the best player. I'm not disputing that, but there was a time where Son, you know, had the ability.
Don't say it, Luke. Don't say it.
Wait, look.
Don't say
they both finished Golden Boot winner, I think, in one season together. Joint. Can't remember what season it was. But Son's got the ability. Not Salah level, and not many people are at his level, but not far off. He's been doing it for ages now. It's just he's been dropping off, and I don't like it. And I say it all the time. It's like,
I don't like it.
I say it's like, if players are not on form and they're not playing well, they need to be dropped. I don't care about the name. I said it before when Harry Kane was there. I said it when Wayne Rooney was at England, and people were like, no, you can't take Wayne Rooney. He's our best striker. Well, if he's playing shit, take him off. Stop playing players for the names.
Where's Madison at the moment? Is he injured or something?
He's been on the bench. He's just been swapping them. He's been rotating. Kulusevski at the moment is playing that position and he's playing really well in it. He's been getting assists and scoring goals. I mean,
who rotates Son's position?
This is it, Mitch. You'd want Werner, but do you know what I mean? Like, so I understand it's the devil, you know, isn't it? So
I mean, bless him. He can run fast in a straight line.
Oh, I know.
That's about it.
Yeah, exactly that. So yeah, there isn't anyone at the moment that can. But unless you move over. What's his name? Brennan Johnson on the left and have like Kulusevski back on the right where he played before and then have Madison in the middle. But you just can't change that because then you start dropping the pace on the right.
Do you think it's a confidence thing? Because I looked at the Wolves match especially and you look by far the better team, but it's almost like when you're 2-1 up or whatever, you start to panic and you kind of almost feel like you're gonna concede at some point. It's almost like you're gonna let it happen. Whereas, like, I think when you was playing against Liverpool, for example, they were already quite significantly in front in that game. So I felt like you played with a little bit more freedom, maybe, and scored those couple of goals. But do you think it's a confidence thing?
No. I think it's just shit. I think it's just poor performance. I think it's just poor performance from Tottenham and no urgency. Just poor performance. I've not seen the Wolves game, but I can guarantee if I watch that game, if I can find the full game, I'll watch it and it's going to be some parts in that game that's going to piss me off again because it's just Tottenham doing the same shit again. There's just no urgency. You want to play attacking football, by all means, play attacking football. Be on that front foot and just go at them. But again, you can't drop back and start doing Conte shit in the middle of the park while the players are still attacking. If you know what I mean, like that worked before because we sat back a lot. We sat back so much. We played counter-attack football that it worked. That if they lost it in midfield, it doesn't matter. We had like another 5-6 players behind the ball. But when you do that and you're losing the ball in the middle of the field doing shitty passing, well, guess who's there? We've got Dragos and a fucking Gray. Who, let's be honest, are not great. Gray's still learning the game, and Dragosin, it's been okay, but he's no Romero or Van de Ven. So you're going to get players, and Porro goes too far up the field, and your dog is just not on form at the moment. That's why he's been dropped. The only reason he's playing because of thing he got sending off last.
I mean, Luke, that going back to the Forest game, I know you had a lot of possession. But that goal you conceded, I don't know, it's a counter-attack goal, kind of. That's how Forest seems to be playing, you know, various young, quick, dynamic wingers that they've got and attacking players. But the goal that you conceded, the middle of the park was just empty.
Yep.
I don't know who you got playing centre midfield. There was, I think it was, was it Gibbs White that ran through?
Yeah,
it was. He just ran through the basically half the pitch. Yep. And he put a ball through to Elanga, and Udogie didn't even know he was there. When you watch the replays, he's just completely unaware that he's on his shoulder. And when he runs past him, he sort of looks around and goes, oh, well, where'd you come from? And it's like the lack of awareness is unbelievable for a Premier League level player.
And that's it. When you push so far up the field and you lose that ball, you they've got space. And when you've got defenders like your dog, you just not paying attention to the players when he should be. It's frustrating. It's frustrating to watch. And it's embarrassing, like, especially with a club like Tottenham. You look at that fixture.
Middle league club.
Well, yeah. This season, yeah. Look.
When you say that, Luke, when you say for a team like Tottenham, what do you mean?
Come on.
Yeah. No, seriously, because I didn't fully get my point across last week when we were talking, and I said Tottenham need to reevaluate what they think they are. And you said, yeah, well, look at Man United. You know, they're in the same situation. Look how much money they've spent, blah, 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 blah. The difference is Man United are the biggest club in the world.
Oh, yeah.
And Man United have won everything.
Agreed.
And done everything. And Tottenham have never done anything.
Well, not anything, but I get your point.
Well, no, but you know what I mean.
I get your point.
You've not ever been at anywhere near the level of Man United. So to say
I know you mean.
This is what I was trying to sort of say. No. You know, when I said, you know, if you come sixth in the league, I know you want more. Everyone wants more. But if Tottenham comes sixth in the league, is that not good for Tottenham in the current climate of the teams that are about, the managers in the league, the players the teams have got, the coaching levels, everyone's got money to spend? Is sixth not in the league, not just about where Tottenham should be?
With what Ange is building and what he's trying to put across to his team, he's trying to build his squad. I think six is... Tottenham fans are
If you wouldn't be happy, would you?
Well, no Tottenham fans are going to be happy because they see the club as being massive. But I'm seeing it as like, okay, with the squad that we've got, like if you were to look on paper, and you look at the squad, you're just like, we're underachieving. Like even looking at where we are now, where's the table?
Just above West Ham, you're in 12th.
Like we're 11th. I mean, can you honestly say we are a team that should be in 11th with the squad that we've got? No, I don't think so.
You've had one win in seven.
I know. It's trust me. I know for what shit Tottenham have been, and we're losing. This league has been weird as shit.
But this is the thing. This is not you so much, Luke. But I find a lot of Tottenham fans in general. They have a lot of they think they should be more than, or bigger or higher than what they are because they're Tottenham. And I think, well, why are you any better than Fulham or Villa or Brighton or Bournemouth or Newcastle? Because all them teams have not done anything just like Tottenham. So why do you think you should be above because you've got a bigger stadium?
No, not the stadium.
You've not got like any divine right to be above them. I mean, there's not a lot in it. There's only, say, 6 points between Bournemouth and Tottenham. It's two wins, and the way this league's going.
Oh yeah, we could be back up there again anyway.
If they draw, you could be up there again. It's ridiculous.
It's the squad. It's like, for me, for us, it's the squad. Like you look at our squad, you'd look at that, and you'd be like, okay, that's a team that should be competing for top four with that squad.
Foster, Dragosin, Gray.
Well, no, they're the players. They're only in because of injuries.
But that's a squad, isn't it?
Yeah, I know, and that's what he's trying to build. Like Gray's a youngster, so he's bringing the youngster up, and fair play to what Ange's doing. Like Dragosin's a youngster as well, and he's come in, and he's not been getting game time. The only reason he got game time is because of injuries. He would not even be there. It's the same for Gray. Gray was meant to be. He's a centre midfield player. He's not. He's been playing left back, right back, he's played centre back, he's played every position other than striker at the moment for us. We had the youngster, I can't remember his name, Mikey Moore, got injured, looked really good, injured again. Madison dropped a bit of form, been on the bench, fair enough. Kulusevski's been doing great in that position, didn't come back and got form, got a few goals, kept Kulusevski out of team. But then injuries again. We got Udogie got injured, so he's been playing back. Porro got injured. Then we had to put Gray on the right back. Jed Spence's had to come in. Then he got sent off last game, so he had to miss this game. It's just like sometimes we're hurting ourselves as well, not just through the injuries.
I'm not sure I agree with Madison dropping form, by the way. I think Ange prefers Kulusevski in that role because he brings that kind of energy to the thing that he wants to bring.
He's an excellent player.
But I don't think Madison has dropped form, and I think when he's come on, he's actually looked quite good, like in the Chelsea game, for example. I feel like he's moulding it around.
I agree with you to a sort of extent, because now he's got competition at position. I don't know if you see it with your club or any player, is that when you
last season,
Maddison got a bit complacent, and I've seen him a few times be a bit complacent. He just seems to not be his normal self. Guess what? Kuzeski comes in, does really well. When Kuzeski's not in that position, guess who comes in and does really well? Maddison scores a couple of goals, starts getting assists. He looks sharp. He looks good. You give him another run of form, run of games, and he starts going back into his old habits again of not being that consistent player.
I think Maddison is a luxury player.
Yeah.
He's a player on his day is shit hot, but I don't necessarily think he's willing to do the dirty work.
Yeah, he's not consistent.
Where Kulusevski will run his bollocks.
He's
a classy player. I think he is your best player, Kulusevski.
Oh, 100%. I said this before.
If you're saying, well, who's playing, Kulusevski or Maddison, if they're in the same position...
Oh, you're playing Kuzeski at the moment. I like that. I like that competition. I like that. Look, we've got that.
Tottenham can't afford a luxury player at the minute.
No.
You know the way they're playing. You can't afford to have a player strolling about as good as he can be.
Yeah,
he's got to put the effort in all around.
That's it.
Not saying he doesn't put the effort. But
No.
He's just not that type of player as well. Is he good enough as that type of all-round player?
Yeah,
he's more attacking, talented, you know.
Well, that's what I mean. He doesn't fit into Ange's philosophy, does he?
Is the thing.
I mean, it's a funny one, Luke, and it is a funny one, but I get what you're saying. On paper, your team shouldn't be in that position in the league.
I know you talk about the money that teams have spent on players and whatnot. That doesn't always relate to position in the league. It doesn't relate to that. But you look at Tottenham squad and you think they should be competing. Like, even beginning of the season, you're thinking, okay, they're going to try and compete for, might not get top four, but they should be competing for it at least. No one thought Chelsea were going to do it. No one even thought Nottingham Forest, where they are. Everyone's expecting them to just drop off. They may not drop off. If they do, it may be like every other game or something, so only drop a few points. They can still stay in top four. Newcastle are creeping back up again. Everyone thought Newcastle dropped off. They're starting to win games. Isak is just fucking on form at the moment. All it takes is a few games to get you back up again. Villa's dropped off completely. Everyone thought Villa was going to be in top four. Man City, fucking... This season is so weird right now, and I feel like, yes, we're underachieving at the moment, but who isn't at the moment in the league?
Liverpool.
Well, they're overachieving, I guess, for what other people, except for what I'm saying again in the season.
So, Luke,
Arsenal are underachieving, I think.
Well, I would say, yeah, with the amount of draws we've had, we should be closer to Liverpool. I don't think Liverpool are, as I was saying earlier, I don't think Liverpool are a better team than Arsenal. When we played Liverpool, we were the better team. But they are so good going forward, you know. And we've had that. Someone put a stat up the other day. I saw Liverpool have scored at least two goals, I think, in every game bar one. And Arsenal have had about eight games where they've only scored one goal
at
maximum. And that's what's cost us draws, you know. And that's a, you know, if you're more defensive rather than attacking, you could say, you know, is that what Ange strives for, to be like Liverpool? Is he trying to attack, but they're not good enough and they're getting caught out?
No.
And they're not good enough to be as good as Liverpool attacking was. But what do you think, Luke, about obviously I don't think you're in the sort of side of Ange, are you? You think give him time, but what do you think about the board and Levy overseeing all of this stuff? You know, they have given a lot of money to managers as well, you know, and I don't think Ange is the one who's necessarily bought all these players. Have they been bought for him? Do you think Levy's an issue at Tottenham?
No. I know a lot of Tottenham fans will be like, what the fuck are you saying, Luke? Everyone's like, I'll leave you out because he's bringing away the club. The club, Levy is tight. We all know that. But that's the way Tottenham are at the moment.
I mean, paying 65 mil for Solanke is not tight, man.
No, that's what I mean. I don't know. They want to see it that, okay, Solanke's 65 mil. They want us to go and buy another 65 million defender, then a 70 million midfielder. That's what they want us to do, like Man City. They want us to do like Chelsea. We can't do that. The money isn't there. But what Levy will do is make sure we meet financial fair play, make sure we do Beyonce at the stadium, make sure we do NFL at the stadium. You know, and Clive will say, if he was here, that you're still paying off the stadium. Like, that stadium probably is going to be getting paid off for like another 10 years. I have no idea how long. But it is a thing that he's still paying for that would hurt a little bit.
What if you did have the money, eh?
If just rent it off the council, mate.
Oh, yeah. Or sell some hotels, I guess, or something along those ways. But look, we get a new manager in, Levy's going to have to give him more money.
Yeah.
Then they buy new players, and then we might not even do anything again. Or we stay with Ange, he brings up the youngsters like he seems to be doing, let him build his score, let him work on it. Fans just need to back the fuck off for now and just, yeah, we don't get top four. Well, fuck it, we get 11th. This season, well, guess what? We've got no Europa League to worry about. All we've got to worry about is the domestic cups, and then just concentrate on finishing.
I do think your injuries have actually played quite a big part.
Oh, it has. But again, I'm not going to be. I'm not going to be that sort of player. If Liverpool had Van Dijk missing, that they'd be struggling at the back a bit because the way they had that the season that he was. Because I think when he come back, he was not shit, but he wasn't himself. But now he seems to have.
Saliba went the other year. We was top of the league, lost Saliba, and we fell to bits.
Yeah, it's
one player, I don't think
that would happen with Liverpool because I don't think they give a fuck about defenders at the moment. To be honest, I think
they've got that cushion, haven't they? They've got that player that's just so good.
But you can't get at Liverpool. That's the difference.
Yeah, you can.
West Ham has some good chances against.
But that's what I mean. That you can get them, but I don't think they really give a shit. Anyway, bringing it back to Spurs. Not that I really want to do that because it gives everyone the ump. But does anyone else want to mention anything about Spurs before we move on?
I think they're pretty consistent this season.
It's a myth, Mitch. It's a myth. Oh, we did win a Euro Jules, by the way. Just want to throw that out there.
Oh, good.
Selenky got a nice little header, didn't he?
Yeah.
That's almost better than 3 points, isn't it?
We've got to look at the positive somewhere, haven't we?
As long as you play exciting, you're involved in exciting games, that's all that matters, really, isn't it?
Well, I won't say Nottingham Forest game was exciting, but yeah, it wasn't great.
Well, that's when the problem's going to start, is when it starts getting not exciting and you're still not very good.
We need to put another team up like Man United so we can get another result. Or Man City. You know, we seem to be able to beat them.
We'll move on to West Ham then next. So... obviously we played Southampton Boxing Day, and I expected to win that game. Did not expect Southampton to give us that much trouble, to be honest with you. It was a bit of a new manager bounce situation, which we've already suffered that against Leicester earlier on this season. So I was a little bit worried about that, but we managed to get the 3 points. There was a guy, Onuachu or something, that plays up front for Southampton. He's like 6'9" or 8'6" or something fucking stupid. Anyway,
I think he's an old one of our players.
Probably. I mean, you've had everyone, haven't you? So probably.
Apparently, he's been at Southampton for a couple of years and it was his first game or something.
Yeah, but we just struggled against it. Like, we just could not defend against him. I think he had about 15 headers against us and didn't score any, thankfully. But yeah, Southampton had a lot of chances. We really struggled with him specifically. But at the end of the day, we got the 3 points. Bowen got a fairly decent goal. And that was that, really. Liverpool. Fuck me. I think Tom mentioned it earlier. We had a couple of decent chances. I mean, within 5 minutes, Pakatar should have scored. And to be honest, he was shit again. The amount of times there was loose passes, badly weighted passes, like all sorts going on. He's really not been up to it this season at all. And I wouldn't say it was a sitter, but he certainly should have hit the target, I would say. Yeah, so that's within the first 5 minutes. That goes in. I'm not sure it changes that much, but we at least get something to cheer about. But yeah, I mean, after Liverpool's first goal, obviously Diaz got like a little bit of a fluky touch, I suppose. But it was a great finish. And after that first goal, it was almost like I've actually noted down here, a submissive performance. So that's almost felt what it felt like. We kind of surrendered. And I think in that game, we just got it defensively all wrong. The amount of space that Salah had to do whatever he wanted, basically, was ridiculous. I don't know why we allowed that to happen. The second goal was, I mean, what did you all think? Have any of you seen the second goal with the
offside one? Thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, to be fair, I mean, I said it in the group chat, it is a grey area, but then kind of as a former semi-professional defender,
yeah,
as someone who played in defence, I find goals like that really, really annoying, because the whole West Ham team had a lot, the defensive line was there and they all stepped up and they played him offside, and that ball was played to him. No matter what anyone says, that ball got played to Salah and he was offside. Now, whether he goes to it, which he does, he goes towards it, but then he knows, he goes, oh shit, I'm offside, and he comes away. But what happens is, you can say, well, it's West Ham's fault, because the guy, I don't know who it was, playing left back, he didn't track their winger who wasn't offside.
Yeah.
And then Salah ended up getting the ball. Wan-Bissaka would have been with Salah, but he wasn't, because he then had to, he played Salah offside, then had to track back to the other guy, and then Salah's in the middle on his own. You know, so he's offside. They're all in, he's interfering with play all day. It's just a goal that bewilders. I know why then it's not given, and they give, but it's just stupid. It's just a stupid rule. He's offside. He's offside. He's played. They've played him offside, so he's interfering with play because he's affected their play. The ball was played to him, and he went towards it.
Yeah,
but because he didn't touch it, everything's allowed to go on. But he's still got advantage because he's then unmarked in the box.
Well, like you say, I mean, it's almost like trickery, isn't it? And if you're tricking someone, then surely you're interfering with the play at that point.
Yeah.
But then what wound me up is that none of the pundits or anything even mentioned it. It was like, oh, well, that's fine. That's a goal. And the same match of the day as well.
I think actually Jamie Redknapp said it was clever.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
He said it's clever.
Yeah.
And I thought, what's clever about playing a ball to a geezer who's 4 yards offside?
It's clever if you're a magician.
He didn't play it to the winger. He didn't play it to him. It was a stupid ball. There's nothing clever about it.
But I mean, after that, I mean, take nothing away really from what Salah did after that. I'm not sure whether that was deliberate or not. But. Well, you would know Tom as a semi-professional football player, don't you know? Don't you know?
You would have never beat me with that, I'll tell you.
You would have been sent off. You would have crunched in. I mean, I made a couple of notes, and it was like similar to what I was saying about earlier, really. I think we had a few glimmers of hope. I think Kudus had a decent match. I think he was pretty much our only outlet. Bowen went off, which is a bit of a concern, because I'm really struggling to see where our goals are going to come from. I don't think it is a bad one, but they haven't announced anything on it yet. I honestly don't think, even with Kudus having a couple of good chances, that kind of stuff, I don't think Liverpool even really gave a shit, to be honest. Like, they just looked like they knew they was going to win that game, and I think they're playing with that confidence at the moment that even if we did get it to 1-1 or went 1-0 up, I think they would just win that game, and I expected exactly that. What I didn't expect was a just complete, you know, fold over. Yeah. Which definitely happened in that game, and it was almost like the players thought that as well. They thought, well, Liverpool are winning this now, so we might as well just, you know, fart us about for fucking 70 minutes.
Do you think, Bob, the way, obviously, I work with a lot of West Ham fans, a lot of my, as you know, a lot of my friends are West Ham fans, I've got a lot of West Ham family, and a lot of them say the same thing.
Sorry to hear that.
They just want, it's taxing sometimes.
Me too. Yeah.
They don't necessarily care that they get beaten, but they want to be entertained, but they want to compete, you know. If they go to a game and they lose 2-1, but they've played, that they've tried, you know, they can generally come away. A lot of them say that they can generally come away and go, well, we give it a good go. We know we're not as good as Liverpool, but we tried, you know.
Yeah.
But you know, you've had games against City at home, Chelsea at home, you've conceded three. I think Villa at home, you conceded three. Arsenal and now Liverpool, you've conceded five.
Yep.
Obviously, when you look at it, you think, well, are West Ham really going to compete or be able to compete with those teams? You'd probably say no, was shown. So is there not a sort of call to say, well, why don't we set up solid, set up, you know, even if it's park the bus, make yourselves hard to beat.
Well, absolutely.
You're not hard to beat, are you? Like you say, you just get a couple and it's like free for all.
Yeah, so, I mean,
you see like a team like Ipswich against Arsenal who sit back, do nothing. You know, is that the way that West Ham have got to go to try and, you know, if you can nick a point in one of them games?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it definitely is.
If that is the way, you'd say logically that's the way you should go, but from the West Ham fans I know, they won't be happy with that either.
Yeah, well, I mean, we know that they won't be happy with that because they weren't happy with it against David Moyes. There's no way that he would have let that happen against Liverpool. So we know that they won't be happy with that, but I think there's definitely a call for it. And I think we're experiencing what happens when you don't do that. But I think what people have a real issue is, like, we want to compete and there's a certain way of competing. For me, I would rather compete against these teams. We know we're not going to, you know, go to Liverpool, dominate possession, dominate the game, have loads of opportunities. We know that's not going to happen. So if we are sitting back and then maybe every now and then on the break, Kudus gets on the ball, and maybe we sneak a goal here and there, I would much prefer that personally, yes. But I think, basically is my answer to that. That was a very convoluted way of saying yes, I think there is a call for that. But I don't think a lot of West Ham fans see it like that. And I think it comes back to, like I spoke to before, is that a lot of people thinking that we're better than what we are. They're thinking if we are dominating possession, if we are playing a high line, we should be dominating, you know, 80% of the games in the Premier League, which just isn't the case.
They're a mad team, West Ham, really, because when you think, well, okay, you can't necessarily do it against those teams, but you should be able to do it against a team like Southampton in theory.
Mm-hmm.
But then they were all over you.
Yeah, and I mean, certainly for the first 70 minutes, I was concerned. But when we got the goal, I think we controlled the game fairly well after that point. But that's only going to work in games where we can actually get a goal, and that's where we're really struggling this season, I think. Well, we're struggling in a lot of areas, to be honest, but I think goals is one of the main ones, because where we're actually getting them from. Like, Fulkrug hasn't done anything that I've seen. Well, he scored against Brighton. And he did get an assist for Bowen, to be fair, but there hasn't been that goal scoring. And that's what I was saying about being concerned about Bowen being out, because where are the goals coming from? And even if I thought of Fulkrug getting a goal, I would think of the assist coming from Bowen. So it's a bit of a strange one at the moment.
You've got some tough games coming up as well, haven't you?
We have, yeah. City away is the next one. Again, we got 3 points against Southampton. We're slowly getting the points. I think this season's going to be a write-off. I think if we get anywhere near top 10, we should be fairly happy with that.
You're fighting relegation, mate.
We're not fighting
top
relegation.
10, you're having enough.
We're only a point behind Tottenham.
Exactly.
And
we're 1 point above Man United.
Man United, so yeah.
If we get anywhere near top 10, I think we, unless there's a miraculous change in the second half of the season, I think we've got to be happy with that this season. And then I guess the board decides at the end of the season whether Lopetegui's the right person. But
there's no convincing displays, though, is there? I can't see a dramatic turnaround in the second half. Do they know how long Bowen's going to be out for?
No. And I would suspect that he's going to be available for Man City.
He looked to me like he just thought, fuck this, I'll get off the pitch while I can.
Yeah, I wouldn't blame him either, to be honest.
When I saw the replay, I thought it doesn't really look like he's touched him much. And I think you were 4-0 down, he's probably thinking, you know, well, I might as well have a rest. think.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you say about convincing performances. I know I keep talking about this, but I think we played really well against Newcastle. Like genuinely a really good performance. And I really thought we was going to come on from there. But, and then, I mean, even against fucking Brighton, like we lose that game 3-0 and that wasn't a 3-0 game in my opinion. Like it was, we played a lot better than what that scoreline suggests. And even against Arsenal, it was just clear that Arsenal were just the way better team. So I don't know. I don't know where the convincing performances are going to come from. But again, like I always say, where are the better performances going to come from if we get rid of Lopetegui? Like, where are they going to come from? Answer me that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I would generally agree with you with that, Bob. But then you could say, well, look at a team like Wolves, you know, and they've sat their manager and got 7 points out of 3 games and looked quite good.
Yeah, but look at their 3 games. I mean, Spurs was one of them.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Spurs and Man United, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Shit teams.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was about it.
No, it wasn't plural, mate. Team.
But yeah, I mean, that's all I've really got to say. I think that Liverpool are just fucking too good. Salah is so fucking good. It is outrageous.
Ballon d'Or winner?
I don't think
I don't think they give it to him.
I don't think they will either. I think they'll go for some just, you know, token Real Madrid player because he plays for one of the you know, the top Spanish teams or whatever.
Yeah, probably need to cut out the token bit.
Not everything's about that, Luke. No, you know, they was getting upset that Vinicius didn't get it this year, you know, and it's like, well, he's a good player, but
yeah,
he ain't. To my mind, yeah, I think he's a damn good one. I think Rodri was well deserving of it. But yeah, the way Salah's playing, I said to someone the other day, he's the first player, like, it pains me to say it, when you've had someone in your history like Thierry Henry who you couldn't touch, who would just dominate everyone. Salah's the closest I think I've seen since Henry, where he's just consistently so good. And he produces nearly every week, and he's got everything. And he's getting older now. He's still got the pace. He's still got the touch. He's still got the awareness. He still runs his nuts off. He's a pure class, the geezer. Absolute class.
He's he's always almost at 20 goals. This point in the season is outrageous.
Chelsea sold him.
I know.
Yeah,
and we
did that a lot.
Yeah.
But anything else to say about West Ham before we move on?
I want to say this shit, but only just behind us.
Well, I won, so I'll say bubble cunts.
Thank you, Tom.
If I won, the man better than that.
Anyway, then, so let's move on to Chelsea. So,
Mitchell, before we move on to Chelsea, lads, I just want to. As you were.
Yeah, that sounded so good that I might have to pause the podcast for 2 seconds. No.
What?
Mitchell, you almost pretty much predicted that you was going to come down with the decorations at Christmas.
We always do. We always do. It's the Chelsea way. I said this. We always have a bad Christmas. So this is... You're idiots, I swear.
Did you predict losses? I can't remember.
No. I predicted a draw for the Fulham game. So I was very annoyed on the 96th minute or whatever it was. I think I went 4-1.
Can we stop this, please? Because I was really going to bring great joy in saying that when we'd done the man versus AR. So let's just pretend.
A very strong team, Mitchell.
They are, yeah.
You played two top teams.
Two top teams. This is why, right, but both games were defensive issues. Both games. And I've said this before, that is why. I mean, to even say we were title contenders just because there was no one else chasing Liverpool at that time a couple of weeks ago, we're not title contenders. And these two games have shown why. The Fulham game, I wrote a note down because I didn't see the match because it's Boxing Day, I was out. And I don't know why I wrote this. So I did Chelsea-Fulham too many lobber turkeys. I don't know why I wrote that. I can't remember why I was referencing it. I'm sure I had a good reason.
Have you thrown a turkey?
It's just in reference to Clive's love of turkey, wouldn't it?
Yeah, everyone. Right. If you follow us on Twitter, this is the kind of deep insight that you get into football matches.
Love of turkeys. Well, talking of deep insight. Hello. There was an interesting stat from day of the match. We have won 2 of the 11 derbies we've played on Boxing Day.
Yeah,
and this is the first time they've beat us at home since 1979.
Congratulations.
I know. We do love a good little statistic. All right, the Fulham game, I'll touch on it briefly. You could say we dominated. We had all the possession. We had most of the chances. Palmer, again, is just silk washing that boy. He don't deserve to be in this squad.
He's a
man, isn't he? He is. He's a master of his craft. He can beat whatever he wants off the
pitch. I wish he'd score a goal and just jump in the crowd and go yes, but he just does his stupid little
he's cold isn't he,
face with his brush off the shirt,
cold
fuck off you.
But he does that ball does that mic his feet,
right? That's right. It turns to the next Foden soon where he got like 45 games no goals. Don't worry,
because do you know why I don't agree with that? Because of what Tom just said. He's not all there. He's not going to get to the point where he's going to become self-aware enough to know, oh no, I'm actually pretty good. Then he'll get in his head. He's not going to get in his head because he ain't got one.
It reminds
he's
a bit
just
like
so
you.
Good on the pitch. Oh, thank you. I am very good at football.
No,
you're fine with that. All over them. But we're hanging on to a one goal lead. Jackson had a good chance. He strong against a couple of defenders. A nice little run. Weak ass shot at the end of it. Very disappointing. What was the equaliser? Let me just read this.
Lobber turkey.
No, the Neto went down, didn't he? He went down very soft. That's not a foul for me.
Not a foul.
Definitely not a foul. But the annoying thing about that is, play on, right? Whatever, concentrate. But the defence, so he's whipped the ball in, and I can't remember who it is, heads it back across the box. And then there's a Fulham guy standing on a back post by himself, no one there challenging. What's going on? Why is he standing there waiting for the ball? Horrific defending. And then we have a few more decent chances. Leno had a great game. A really good
Guna.
Game.
Guna.
Yeah, unfortunate, isn't it? Sanchez made some good saves, but then near the end, it's his fault that we fucking got the second goal because he's under no pressure, but he just lobs a turkey. He just boots the ball and Fulham get the ball back. It's a little counter. There's no defensive line. We just... Headless turkeys. There you go. Headless turkeys. We're all over the show.
It's all coming back together now, isn't it?
And it's just a simple pass across the box through what should be a solid defensive line, which is non-existent. And then they slot the ball home. So
The limbs in the Fulham end were very enjoyable scenes, I must say.
No, they weren't.
I did a little dance on Boxing Day.
That injured you about your back. You're injured.
I was already injured. I'm sitting in a chair dancing.
You are in your 40s, so.
Hey,
and then Ipswich. How about that? They're a good side, aren't they?
Great result. Hey?
They're a good. Listen, the mighty Arsenal could only get one against them. That's how tough they are.
Yeah.
All right, and we.
They never had a single shot against our goal, Mitch.
They had a lot against us. They had more shots than us. Well, shots on target, but that's the ones that matter, right? I only listened to it on the radio because obviously it wasn't on TV. But I have now seen the highlights. They've just done the little match recap highlights. Has anyone seen them?
No.
Please go and watch them because, my God. I was ready to rip into Chelsea and be like, oh, you fucking shit cunts, right? But their first goal, the penalty, It was never a penalty. Please go and watch it.
I don't need to watch it. It's definitely a penalty.
Yeah, it sounds like a penalty.
But first of all, right, so what's his name? Hutchinson, the keeper. He's come in. I don't know why, because I know I've moaned about Sanchez, but he's made some decent saves. It's just his distribution that's a little bit poor. I don't get why he's rotated him. But anyway, Hutchinson, he's come out to grab the ball. And the
lap. Yeah, I just watching that, Mitch.
Yeah,
that,
he's not touched him.
That is a penalty all day, mate.
No, he's not touched him. No,
that's a penalty.
Be serious.
That's a shambolic decision.
Yeah, but where's VAR for that? VAR, no, he hasn't kicked him.
He's kicked him.
No,
Luke,
he's throwing his leg out, isn't he? No, that's absolutely.
Yeah, but that's not.
He's kicked him.
The book.
Luke,
didn't touch him.
He's kicked him. Look. What you understand is. Even just breathing on him.
Listen,
it's a
penalty. With your 25 years FIFA experience, I don't want to hear this ball. That is not what I'm saying.
Oh, poor Chelsea. Oh, get the little violin out.
Poor Chelsea. Being offside for 15 years against Arsenal.
2 billion man players. Fuck off.
You deserve the penalty. You two. Calm the fuck down. You two do not agree with each other and gag on me. You're fucking arsehole.
That should be.
Jesus Christ. Anyway, so.
Never a penalty. Never a penalty.
Luke, it wasn't a penalty.
Yep.
Luke, you saying that was a kick is similar to Clive saying that Gabriel got punched in the face by Fabianski.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that is very true. It sets a bad precedent, right? You're 1-0 down and you've just had a poor performance against Fulham. But with all due respect, it's Ipswich, right? You've got the quality to go at them. And again, Palmer was our best player. And he's had some very decent shots. And again, their keeper has made some very decent saves. But again, defensive issues. Di Sarsi has had a fucking disaster. I don't know why he's put him in there. I think I do know why. So Gusto normally plays in that position, but Di Sarsi's come in. But I think Gusto picked up a little knock against Fulham. He was on the bench, but I don't think he wanted to risk him, or at least not give him the full game. But Di Sarsi, he's had such a bad game, and it was a really, really poor wayward back pass, and then they just go on the counter, and Hutchinson, an old Chelsea boy, gets the goal. Fucking 2-0. I still wouldn't have been worried a few weeks ago at 2-0, because you think, well, we've been banging in the goals. No one's getting the goals. We are struggling. I think we had, 80-odd% possession, but our chances were shit, and their chances, they put them away, even though the first one, it's not a fucking penalty.
Yeah, Amari Hutchinson done a big flip and everything.
He did do a big flip.
He loved that, enjoyed that, didn't he?
Yeah, they often score.
He was an ex-Gooner as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think he played for our reserves and went to Chelsea for some money and realised it was a shithole and then left for Ipswich.
Yeah, I noticed you all were booing him when you played him. Salty bastards.
Yeah.
Mitchell, so obviously, you said about obviously like you's having a bad Christmas, that kind of stuff. But I did like obviously you got the draw against Everton. I just didn't really see these two results happening. Like I know, where is the lack of goals coming from? Is it purely a striker thing, or are they not creating the chances?
Maybe that's why he swapped Jackson, because Nkunku started in the Ipswich game and he did nothing.
You would have done that from the first game, mate.
I don't want to pick on Jackson because he has impressed, but you always worry he's just going to fall back into how he was last season. Like, has he been riding his luck a little bit? Maybe, because that's
check his XG statistics.
aerial jewels. He don't do aerial jewels. We don't really have anyone that does aerial jewels for us anymore. It's all Palmer. Everything goes through Palmer. Everything is through the middle. And if Palmer's not scoring, no one's scoring. We were always switching the wingers. I don't know if that's healthy. I don't know if that's a good thing or not. It's not been working in the last two games. We've had Sancho, Felix, Madueke, and the other lad. I can't remember his name. So there's a lot of rotating of the wings. I feel like it, especially on the left, maybe it would have worked. Neto and Sancho switching all the time. But something's not working at the moment. The goals aren't coming. Maybe it's just a little bit of dip in form, you know, a little bit of turkey hangovers. I don't know. But like, it does always happen. We always have a bad Christmas.
It's mad though, isn't it? Because you go from, you know, it only seemed like, well, it was only a couple of weeks ago. That's probably fucking why. But like you go from being, was it 1 point behind at one point? You could go on top.
They had a game in hand, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But you could put the pressure on, you know, that kind of stuff. And then
do a Spurs.
This run of results, it just seems so bizarre to me. Like, yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Chelsea, it's the Chelsea way. Consistent, hey.
Well, you said the other week, Mitch, didn't you? Looking at our fixtures, you know, I don't know where we're going to drop the points.
And well, yeah, because I mean, Fulham would have been a tough game. I get that, but we have a good record against Fulham, so I was expecting something, and that's why I went for the draw. I was being conservative. I thought we'd smash Ipswich. We got Palace next. Now I'm worried. You know, then it's Bournemouth and Wolves after, and Wolves. I mean, they've just done it to Spurs. They're picking up a little bit of form, and then it's back to City at the end of Jan, and they're. Who knows what they're doing? Are they going to turn up now? And then it's the mighty West Ham. So, but then
we're
to
only
going to
get that.
Well, we're normally all right by the time February comes around. So you're fucked.
You look at your games. If you struggle against Palace, Bournemouth, and Wolves, you know, City, West Ham, Brighton away, Villa away, into sort of mid Feb.
Yeah, but it is
only down in Tottenham by then.
It's up. we won't be in relegation with Tottenham.
Oh, fucking hell. West Ham. Are we exaggerating there?
1 in 7, mate. Oh, look, I say that. We could be 1 in 7.
This guy, wins a few games, gets cocky, and now look, a couple of games.
Wins a few trophies, mate. How many European trophies have you got?
Winning and buying are two different things.
Still got to win it, mate. Still got to win it.
No.
People with money have come and gone before, and it hasn't worked.
Well, Man City did what you did. With that sort of money.
One. Yeah, Blackburn.
You should try Blackburn, mate.
Okay. So, anything else to say on Chelsea? Tom, Luke, any questions?
Oh,
I'm
so glad they're dropping points now.
I mean, me too. It's so fucking
great.
Yeah. I would just say fuck Chelsea because you've got some very, very unlikable players.
Oh.
Cucurella.
What is his name? Sideshow Bob. Diving, cheating, little prick. Neto, absolute diving little dickhead. Palmer. He's just got so many.
Just because you know he's
players.
Better than Saka.
No, he's not.
Definitely is. Remember though, guys, Arsenal players are saints. So.
They are saints. And if you say a bad word against them, oh, woe is me.
the creators of the dark arts themselves.
Yeah.
Conspiracy by the refs and VAR and PGMOL and the rest of the world against the Arsenal.
That's it. Yeah.
Oh, you didn't pull me up on the Arsenal this week, Tom. I'm impressed.
Well, this time.
Yeah, true. Right, I don't think we're going to have time for the what-if-ery this week, so apologies for that, because we're already at an hour and 8 minutes. And no, it's not double fixtures. It's only double fixtures for Arsenal, but we've got double fixtures on the results.
I meant that's why we haven't got time.
All right, mate.
Don't fucking get sassy with me, mate, all right? Just because Clive's not here.
Well, you know, someone's got to throw their power about a bit, and or whatever. But yeah, okay, well, I'll go into Man vs. AI then. Man vs. AI.
Beep, boop, boop, beep.
Thank you. Okay, so, I mean, no one did very well this week. in terms of man or AI. But I will say that we are picking up some points on them. So fuck Lovely. Robot, man. Hashtag fuck robot trend on Twitter.
Or Roman.
Huh?
Let's not be sexist.
What do you mean, right? Oh,
you
Roman.
Said fuck the robot man.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's Luke's hashtag with his doll.
I forgot about the doll. Right, okay. So
sorry, Dick.
We'll make a start with man versus AI. So Chelsea versus Fulham. AI predicted Chelsea 2, Fulham 1.
Mugs.
Got 0 points. Mitchell predicted Chelsea 1, Fulham 1, and also got 0 points.
Oh, that 95th minute.
Hang on, I'll do Chelsea again after. So Ipswich versus Chelsea. AI predicted Ipswich 0, Chelsea 3, and got 0 points. Mitchell predicted Ipswich 1, Chelsea 4.
Yeah.
And got 0 points. Nottingham Forest versus Spurs. AI predicted Forest 1, Spurs 2, and got 0 points. Luke predicted Forest 1, Spurs 3, and got 0 points.
Yeah, we don't talk about that. Look, come on, you'd expect that, wouldn't you? But no.
Would you?
Well, I did.
Spurs versus Wolves. AI predicted Spurs 2, Wolves 0, got 0 points. Luke predicted Spurs 4, Wolves 0, and also got 0 points. Them points will come, mate, don't worry.
I was a bit ambitious on that, I guess, but like, look, it is what it is.
It was 4 goals.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, you got that right. Shame that doesn't mean nothing for the points, though.
Can we just do aerial duels instead? Can I predict aerial duels?
I mean, you can, yeah. But again, it means nothing for the points. Arsenal versus Ipswich. AI predicted Arsenal 4, Ipswich 1, and got 1 point. Clive and Tom predicted Arsenal 4, Ipswich 0, and also got 1 point. That was the only game for Arsenal. Tom, you're going to have to do 2 predictions this week, by the way.
Okay.
Southampton versus West Ham. AI predicted Southampton 1, West Ham 1. Fucking mug. And got 0 points. And Bob predicted West Ham 1. West Ham 2, Southampton 0, and got 1 point. Defeating the robot again. So just... Mitchell, I can't wait to tell you the summary of points, actually. And then West Ham versus Liverpool. AI predicted West Ham 1, Liverpool 3, and got 1 point. And I predicted West Ham 0, Liverpool 3, and also got 1 point. So at the end of that, that leaves AI with 58 points and humans with 45 points. So we're slowly making some ground on them. Slight change in the leaderboard. Bob is top with 14 points.
Hey.
Mitchell is second with 13 points. Clive Tom, a third with 12 points. And well, they've tight. Also got a game in hand. It's about to get a lot less tight. Luke is bottom with 6 points.
Oh, Luke. But how are you worry, not Luke. On the double it'll digit come. Shit?
Look, it just takes a few games.
A few?
So Luke is how many points behind Clive? 6.
6, yeah.
And I've only done 1 fixture and I'm 5 behind Luke.
Yeah. That's a great way to look at it.
Yeah.
You motherfuckers.
You're wearing an awesome shirt.
Right. On to the predictions for next week. We'll start off with Arsenal because obviously they've got the midweek game against Brentford. Tom, what's your prediction?
I say 2-1 to the Arsenal.
Okay. And what's your prediction for the Brighton-Arsenal game?
I didn't know how to do this one, so Brighton-Arsenal. Let's say... 3-1 to the Arsenal.
Wow. Okay. So Clive's predictions, by the way. So Clive went 2-1 Arsenal for the Brentford game as well, and went 2-0 for the Brighton game, just in case you cared.
Yeah.
Well, Clive. Cool. Right. Luke.
Yep.
Spurs v Newcastle.
Fuck. Are we at home?
You are at home, yeah.
Fuck.
They've picked up form, haven't they?
this is the game you'll win, Luke. You'll be Spursy.
They're a bit of a bogey team. I'll go 1-1.
Okay. Mitchell, Palace. Hello, mate. Against Chelsea. Palace are at home.
Listen. Chelsea 2-1.
Okay. And then Man City against West Ham. I'm still not convinced by Man City, right? They still look shit against Leicester.
They did.
But having said that,
You are shit.
Yeah, and I'm worried that Bowen's got to be out, so I don't think we'll score. So I'm going to go 2-0 Man City. Just because I want the points. Right, that's it then. So we'll do AI's predictions now. Talk amongst yourselves. Blah, 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 blah.
Get the jazz drums.
Yeah. What the fuck is AI doing? Here are the predictions. Oh, okay. Oh, it's already done. Don't worry. Right. Okay. So, oh my God, it's going everywhere. Hang on. I'm going to have to let it load. Right, here we go. So, Brentford versus Arsenal. AI's prediction is Brentford 1, Arsenal 2. Same as Clive and Tom. Arsenal's recent form has been impressive and they are pushing to maintain their position at the top of the Premier League table. Brentford will, while strong at home, may struggle against Arsenal's attacking prowess. Additionally, Arsenal has a favourable head-to-head record against Brentford, which could play a psychological advantage. Ooh, getting all psychological on us. Mm. Second game for Arsenal, Brighton against Arsenal. AI's prediction is Brighton 1, Arsenal 3. Arsenal's attacking depth and current momentum suggests they can secure an away victory. Brighton has shown resilience but may find it challenging to contain Arsenal's offensive threats. Historically, Arsenal has performed well against Brighton, which could influence the outcome. It's following you, Tom.
I know. Or am I a robot?
Oh.
You don't really know, do you? Like, you never really know.
Tom and AI in the same room before.
Me either. They kind of talk similar, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Like, kind of obnoxiously, expressively aggressive. Spurs versus Newcastle. AI's prediction is Spurs 2, Newcastle 2. Both teams have potent attacking options and have shown defensive vulnerabilities in recent matches. A high-scoring draw seems plausible, reflecting their current forms and previous encounters. Notably, recent fixtures between these teams have produced significant goal totals, indicating an open game. Palace versus Chelsea. AI's prediction is Crystal Palace 1, Chelsea 2. Chelsea's superior squad depth, superior, only got fucking 1,400 of them, and quality should enable them to edge out a victory against Crystal Palace. While Palace can be formidable at home, Chelsea's recent performances indicate they can secure the 3 points. Historically, Chelsea has a strong record against Crystal Palace, which could boost their confidence. Was that your prediction as well, Mitch?
It was. AI has copied a lot of predictions this week.
I know, right? It's like it's listening to us at all times.
It just knows it's got a copy and it wins.
Yeah. And finally, so Man City against West Ham. AI's prediction, Man City 3, West Ham 1. Man City's attacking capabilities, especially at home, make them favourites to win. West Ham may pose some threat, but City's overall quality should see them through comfortably. City's impressive home record and previous successes against West Ham support this prediction. Boom.
Shakalaka.
That's done. Shakalaka,
indeed. What was your prediction on that one?
West Ham, Man City?
Yeah.
Man City 2, West Ham 0.
Huh.
Well,
you're right with that, Luke?
Got a problem with that?
I just feel like with the squad that they're playing at the moment, you guys would could pick up a point.
Oh, what's that?
You haven't watched us play.
You're such a shit troll, Luke.
No, I see what you're saying, Luke, and that is why I was concerned. But I'm concerned that Bowen is out, and we're not going to be able to score. So I think City will win, and also they've got to win. Haaland scored. Yeah, Danny Ings is going to fucking Danny Ings, honestly.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's it for that this week. Has anyone got anything that they want to say before we go?
Fuck Chelsea.
Okay. Well, yeah, I concur. Fuck Chelsea. And Happy New Year, everyone. I'm ending it, whether you like it or not. Bye.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, buddy.